if your personal or business brand was so focused and so on target that it was easy for everyone in your organization to understand? What if you connected with your clients on an emotional level so deeply that they never forgot you? This is what the most successful brands in the world do. It's not about ad budgets. It's about developing a consistent brand, no matter the industry, location, or size of the company. Discover your brand and create an amazing, foolproof marketing strategy. This is the Brand Archetypes Podcast, hosted by Kevin Scarrett and Amy Zander, owners of BrandArchetypes.com. Join them on a journey to discover your most powerful, true brand.
Brand Archetypes Podcast, everyone. This is Kevin Scarrett. I'm with Amy Zander again. Hi, Amy.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good.
Very good.
Yeah.
So I've got a question for you.
Okay.
So besides you and me, and I don't want you to put any other restrictions on it. Can you think of somebody who is intensely passionate about something? Anything. It could be their job, a hobby, music, cars, sports, literally anything. Can you think of someone who is passionate about something,
sure.
Intensely passionate?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this person that you thought of, tell us a little bit about them.
Well,
you don't have to use their name if they want.
Yeah, no, it's okay. This person is an artist and very, very passionate about her art and talks about it a lot. She's really good at networking and she's really good at bringing out the artistic ability in other people. And she just her whole life is art. She creates art. She's a abstract artist. And then she puts her artwork on clothing. So she wears that clothing a lot, which is really cool. She just kind of lives her hobby. It's not really her hobby. It's her job and it's her talent, but she lives it all the time.
Yeah. So she's not just passionate about the art itself, but about teaching it.
And other people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool. Okay. Interesting. So this person that you thought of, because of their passion, have they garnered a high level of trust in your mind?
Yeah, absolutely. They're on the top artists in the area. Mm-hmm.
Right. And obviously, because you picked that person, they rose to the top of your mind when I asked the question, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when you said like passionate about something, I was like, oh, that person came to my mind right away.
Right. Okay. So if you're a listener right now, and even if, especially if you've listened to our past discussions about the lover archetype, and if you've ever thought, I think that could be something I embrace. And as you're listening to me ask these questions to Amy, she's bringing up a person who is, by their nature, intensely passionate about, in this case, art. And if you're thinking to yourself, yeah, I've got that level of passion, I've got that intensity, I think I could do that. Well, listen closely, kids, because that's what we're talking about today.
Kids.
The lover archetype, okay?
Yeah. So, yeah, our first episode about the lover was way back in mid-February 2020. So if you'd like to hear our introduction to the archetype where we talk about the nature of the archetype and to get the gist of it, be sure to go back and listen to episode 15 and catch up. So where that episode introduces the concepts underlying and permeating the archetype, this episode, we are going to talk about your approach to marketing with this particular archetype, the lover. So, Kevin, why don't you tell us the big idea for the lover?
If you've been listening every time we do this kind of how to market podcast, how to market with a specific archetype, it's really important that you understand the big ideas behind the archetype, because that's kind of what's going to get infused throughout everything that you do. And in this case, the big idea is passion. Passion of all flavors and all types. Passion for just about anything. And it can be a tangible thing like a product, something that you can see and touch, or intangible, an idea, a service, or something conceptual like Amy's example of music, right? So if you're intensely passionate about your product, your service, your company, servicing your customers, learning more about your industry, again, anything, you can be passionate about anything, then this archetype might be right for you. But it's not just passion. There are other less important ideas. And I think the other one that's worthy of noting here is the idea of building strong relationships. Now, this is not the same kind of relationship building like the neighbor archetype. There's a lot of, you know, strong relationships, familiar relationships that are built there. But the lover definitely does require human interaction, right? So before we dive into marketing, specific marketing ideas, why don't you, Amy, tell us about the sub-archetypes?
Sure. So as usual, we have two sub-archetypes for the lover, and each one has a completely different flavor. So the first one's called the gigolo, and this one focuses on sexual passion. So if you think about any number of fashion products that use sex to sell, like perfumes, alcohol, dating apps, that sort of thing, we're all very, very familiar with the concept of sex, using sex to sell. And then the second archetype is called the Cupid. And this one focuses on romantic passion and includes brands that are truly romantic by nature, but also include brands that promote passion of all types that are like non-sexual. So, for example, like the Hallmark Channel, very romantic. Mm-hmm. Or also Moody Airplanes years ago. They had a lengthy campaign that focuses on the passion for flying. So if you know a pilot, you'll understand how natural this approach is, right? Passion for flying.
I used to have my pilot's license, and I agree with that wholeheartedly.
And I think this can also be relatable to anybody who has a passion for any sort of hobby, you know, hunting, fishing, artistry, knitting, crocheting, just passionate about it. I know for a while I was on a Facebook page for Instapot recipes, and people get really into their Instapot. Like, there were these women, I assume that most of them were women, I shouldn't be sexist about that, but these people who were like knitting or sewing little cozies to put their Instapot in, so it was like all wrapped up snug, like put to bed when it wasn't being used and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that's really passionate about Instapot cooking.
do they name their Instapot?
I don't know. Maybe. You know, I always name my appliances.
Take it for walks. And
sleep with it. I don't know. It was just crazy, right? Like, and Instapot scares me anyway. I don't trust it. It's always doing what it's supposed to be doing.
What, it's like out with gangs?
I don't know. Like, I want to open the lid streets and make sure it's actually cooking or whatever.
I see.
Out with gangs. Yeah, they all have their matching cozies and their color-coordinated gang symbols.
That's where you have to watch it, right?
That was a tangent.
Instapot's gone bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a new Facebook page, Instapot's gone bad.
Okay, so now that we've covered the big ideas, we understand the different flavors of the sub-archetypes, let's now talk about how we can use this archetype to market our products and services. So as usual, Amy, let's talk a little bit about words, shall we?
Yeah, woohoo! Let's do this. Yes, words. Okay, I'm passionate about words. Ha. I guess.
You're a little passionate there, right?
How you say things matter as much as the words themselves, right? How you say them. So let's review some of the words that we could use. I will pull out my lover word bank. And I just want to say, I use these word banks every day, whether they're for myself and my own marketing, for my clients' marketing, just to get writing ideas or just an idea for different things. So just getting a little plug here for the word banks. We have one for every single archetype. Each one is several pages long of just words and phrases and slogans that you can use for your archetype. Doesn't matter what industry you're in. And we sell those for $29.95 per word bank. So let me know if you need one.
And even if you don't use words and phrases out of the word bank itself, it will absolutely inspire you to drive your messaging more focused on that specific archetype.
Yeah,
so
that's
as
true.
Amy starts to read these words, you're going to absolutely hear the lover scream out of her selection. And that's the idea, right? So,
but I won't scream them at you. Okay.
just do it passionately.
Okay. Breathless, captivating, elegant, enchanting, engaging, fetching, discreet, coy, fervent. I like that word, fervent. Irresistible, mouth-watering. Let's see what else we got here. Rampant, splendid, sensuous, polished, plump, shiny. You get the idea.
Yeah.
And then, some phrases. So here, just to get an idea of what some of these things are in these word banks. So here's some phrases. Fire and Ice, Burn with a Passion, Can't Live Without, Life's Treasured Moments, Make Merry, Make Noise, A Wondrous Journey. Let's see, a couple more. Stark Naked, like that one, or Treat Yourself. So, as you can see, lots of ways to instill passion with the words that you use. So,
and as you're reading them, I'm every single time I can't help but split them off into, okay, that's the
Gigolo or the Cupid.
Yep. Yeah, because there's definitely a huge divide, a split. It's either you're on one side or the other. Right. There's not much overlap there.
Yeah, where would you put Stark Naked?
I would absolutely put that in the gigolo camp.
The gigolo,
Yeah. On the other hand, you could use that phrase in a non-sexual way.
Oh, yeah, like a natural product or...
Yeah, right.
No packaging.
Yeah, exactly right. Stark Naked packaging. Yeah, right. See, now that right there, if you've got a product and you want to go with this intensely passionate thing, to use a phrase like Stark Naked packaging instead of, you know, the over-packaging that people use, that is environmentally unfriendly.
Or recyclable packaging or something like
that. Yeah, exactly right. To call it Stark Naked? Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll have to queue that one up and sell it to a client later.
There you go.
Did I say that on our podcast? Oops, sorry.
Right. All right, so we talked about words. What kind of images should we use for that?
Images. Okay, so I thought about this before the podcast. So let's take an approach where we're going to base our image selections on specific words from your list. Now, I picked out different words, but you could pick out any words out of the word bank. And so I'm just going to randomly say, Amy, if I use the word sultry.
Ooh, sultry.
What kinds of images pop into your head?
Sultry, like a very seductive woman, maybe in some lingerie with smoky eyes, giving you that come hither look.
Right.
Yeah.
Now think about the specific things in your brain. Now I'm going to tell you what's in my brain. Like if I think the word sultry, I don't think about a full head to toe view of a woman or a man. I focus on and kind of target in on specific things like the curve of her neck to her collarbone or her jawline or, you know, the curve of a hip, you know, those lines and those closer views. And in fact, if you go to our lover page on brandarchetypes.com, the image that we selected for the cover image for that page is very sultry. And that's the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Yeah. Yep. Okay. What about the word delicious?
Well, that always for me is food related. So, I think for most people, but it would be like a really scrumptious looking close up, like food porn picture of like maybe like a cupcake that has a bite out of it or something where you can just almost just smell it and taste it by looking at it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, so the photography and the lighting and the clarity of the image and the framing of it and the composing of the picture, that all matters, right?
Yes.
Yeah right? Mm-hmm. Okay, what about the word intensity?
So intensity to me is going to be like really bold, rich colors. I don't have a particular subject in mind that comes to me right away when I think of the word intensity, but it's just the whole like overall feeling, like you were just saying, like the lighting, the colors used, the whole ambiance of the picture, I guess.
Have you ever seen a model in an ad, you know, where like, let's say it's a GQ model and a GQ ad and they look straight into the camera, right?
Yeah. Intense.
And they always pick, really, they got That's this true. Look, the burning eyes, right? So, and as I'm saying this, you immediately thought, that, of course, that. Well, there's a reason why they pick that model with those eyes in that pose is for that intensity, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, I think the facial expressions, we probably can't say that enough. So, really, what we're discovering here is you can use any word, any phrase, all of your verbal stuff and let it guide you. Let those verbal ideas drive your visual selections. Ooh. And just like what Amy did, kind of off the cuff. So yeah. I wasn't going to tell you everything that you need to do because I wanted you to kind of experiencing it and do it on the fly here. So as much or maybe even more than any other archetype, in this case, with the lover archetype, you can let your gut instincts guide and direct your selections. Mm-hmm. So Amy, you were just kind of going with your gut, right?
Yeah.
And you did a fabulous job as usual. So where does passion really lie but in your gut? And that's kind of the point, right?
Right.
So let's consider when we do our image selection, consider using people in your presentations. Remember that high intensity gaze the GQ model has, right?
Yeah.
By using people and models, you get to see their body, their body language and their posturing and their, more importantly, their facial expressions, right?
Yeah,
you get to experience their passion through.
Yeah, I have a note on that. My team right now is currently helping a woman who is selling clothing for plus size women, and mm-hmm. they're very, very beautiful clothing. And she has a gorgeous model who is very self-confident, and she was just posing in still pictures, and we were like, what if we did videos of her moving in these clothes? Because people want, they're very beautiful clothes, but they're also really comfortable and you can move and they're comfortable and they're not like binding and stuff like that. So we switch mm-hmm. from these still pictures to these videos of showing her moving and dancing and strutting and just being awesome in them. Mm-hmm. And it was crazy how much of a difference that made. People really reacted to those ads and videos more than those still pictures.
Yeah.
So it was like showing that passion and that movement and that was a huge help.
Yeah, and perfect placement here. Use videos. When we're talking about images, we're not talking just about still images. We are talking about video.
Sure.
And whenever possible for all of your marketing, absolutely use video because there is a whole layer of dynamic, the visual nature of a video. There's so much more information that's conveyed. Like you're saying, in this case, you were saying movement and the flow of the garments themselves struck with your
right.
audience, right? Yeah.
Right.
So I would say not just video, but also the lighting mm-hmm. of the subject is huge for the lover archetype. So I would suggest to just not consider quote unquote standard lighting. Because standard lighting is well lit and it's, you know, fairly diffuse
right.
and
yeah.
you can see all the details. Don't do that. Okay, you know, hide half of the face if you're going to try to create sultry, right? By
mystery,
putting in dark shadows.
Intrigue.
Yeah. So like raking light and, you know, pinpoint light. And so darker, heavier lighting, it's going to kind of lean towards that sexual and steamy feeling, right?
Right.
But brighter, more intense lighting, that's going to support those other high energy, intense feelings of passion. So when you have people in your images, also consider selections that show their facial expressions. Like we said before, the face is the window to the soul, right?
Mm-hmm.
So show lots of facial
expressions.
Eyes.
No dead eyes. No creeper stare.
That's right. Right.
Resting bitch face.
Right. So as a joke, every now and then I'll to get a reaction, I'll stick my hand, I'll like grab a really, really ice cold pop or stick my hand in the freezer. And then when I shake someone's hand, just give them the dead hand with a dead stare. And your hand is freezing cold. Yeah, don't do that. That is not the lover archetype.
That's a gestury thing to do.
That is a very gestury
thing
with
a hand buzzer.
With a hand buzzer. That's right. There's nothing wrong with hand buzzer. Hand buzzer, awesome.
Yeah, that's funny. So, all right. So before we get too much further, let's not forget who we're marketing to. So if we understand our audience, how they think, what they feel, what their needs are, et cetera, what emotion they want to feel, then we can combine these ideas with everything we've talked about so far to come up with some really powerful ideas. However, I want to throw this in here. So I think that the lover archetype is one archetype or idea that's so many commercials do this. I mean, have you ever been watching a commercial and you have no idea what they're selling? Like there's a beautiful love story unfolding or some, you know, model on a balcony and then some other guy swimming in a pool and they're staring at each other. And you get to the whole end of the commercial and you still have No idea what they were selling.
Yeah. Was it fashion or the car
perfume,
or the vacation?
What was it?
Yeah. What was it? Yeah.
Cell phones. I totally agree with that. Yeah. Phones used to be, they used to do that a lot. They don't do that so much anymore. But I remember a while ago, cell phones were on that trend too. But so I would encourage you not to do that. If you have this beautiful commercial that's very passionate and you get to the end of it and people don't even know what you're selling, you still failed. Like,
right.
I don't know. This is a pet peeve of mine, but.
Yeah. Well, okay. Take a pharmaceutical commercial, block out the words of the, of a logo when it appears, mm-hmm. and then turn off the sound.
Yeah.
Yeah. You cannot tell what mm-hmm. the product is.
No, it's just people going about their day usually.
Yeah, yeah, exactly right. With a lawyer speaking, you know,
right.
talking about the all the side effects that you're
right.
going to get.
Right.
Yeah. So don't do that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean that Amy is not saying, let's be clear about this. Amy is not saying focus on the product. That is right. not what she's saying. Okay. But don't lose sight of the fact that there is a product that needs to be talked about.
Right.
You know, there is. It's a.
You don't want to be too vague.
It needs to be. You can't be too vague. That's it.
Yeah. I don't. But would you agree? I mean, I could be wrong here, but would you agree that the lover archetype is the one that tends to do that more than yeah. others?
I would not argue. I'd have to think about it a little bit more because yeah. it kind of caught me off guard with the question. But I would not disagree with it yeah. because as you were saying it, I'm like, yeah, yeah, that happens a lot. Yeah,
right.
That does happen.
Perfume
a lot.
Commercials. Yeah. I'm like, it could just be too that I'm like not aware of like commercial perfumes because I don't buy them or wear them. So maybe it's just like I'm like other people would notice it. But I'm
yeah. Well, let me tell you about all the perfumes that I wear.
Well, so. I know.
Okay, let's let the fun begin. So we're all of this so far. To this point in the podcast is a lead up to the fun of us doing some brainstorming. So let's brainstorm some ideas. Okay. So let's do an easy one first. Let's say we're taking the sexual passion approach.
The gigolo. Okay.
Ooh, sultry. And the word we're going to focus on is desire. No, we don't have to do this sexual passion thing. Let's just keep the lover. Well, passion. Passion
okay,
is there,
passion,
right?
Yeah.
But we're gonna focus on desire.
Desire. Okay.
And the product or the company is lawnmowers.
Lawnmowers. What? Okay.
I know it's our usual. Yeah. You love it when I bring up lawnmowers in our examples. I know you do.
All right.
So okay, desire. So let's see if we can come up with a campaign for this. So. And I do think that if we can come up with any kind of campaign idea that focuses on desire with the lover archetype selling lawnmowers.
Sexy lawnmowers. All right.
Sexy lawnmowers.
Check.
That's right. Okay. So babes in U.S. flag bikinis riding our lawnmowers.
No. We can do better. We can do better.
We can do better then? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's draw on the word desire. Let's assume that we're going to pick a model that skews with our target audience. And in this case, lawnmowers is probably like 70%+ male.
Male,
so
yeah.
We're going to have a dude. Let's call him Bob. And what kind of thing?
Name. Okay, sexy. Oh, is it? All right. Awesome. Oh, great.
So let's see what Bob might desire and how it might be conveyed. Okay, so let me start out.
Okay,
so how about if we start with... a kind of a rapid fire sequence of shots where Bob is working on his lawn. And so the first shot is Bob looking out his front window and dun, 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 dun. He zeroes in. He sees all this long grass taking
right.
over. So he runs out to the garage. And next we have a kind of a time lapse sequence with him whipping back and forth on his lawnmower and doing the hedging and the, you know, doing all of his lawn stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's fueling the mower. You've got close-ups of the, you know, of the lawnmower deck whipping around shrubs and, you know, just this boom, 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 this series of stuff, right? Coming mm-hmm. at you. So kind of the speed of the scene is what builds the intensity.
Yeah,
this,
yeah,
it's, right?
yeah, like you say, yeah, building the intensity. Okay, yeah. So... All right, how about if the last shot is Bob standing over his lawn, mower at his side, looking over his kingdom, his lawn's immaculate, and he's slowly nodding like, yes, with a smile on his face, like he is pleased with what he has done. Like, yeah, my lawn is awesome.
Yeah, and then okay. we have the little slogan, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Okay, how about a scene where Bob's out on his lawn, he's down on his hands and knees, He's got a tape measure and he's measuring individual blades of grass.
Nice.
That's intense.
Yeah, or he's like clipping the grass with like tiny little clippers, like just getting them all exactly right. A little OCD there. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. How about a commercial where we don't actually show he's not the main subject. He's off in a distance doing all this stuff that we've been talking about, but in the foreground we find a couple of his neighbors talking about Bob, admiring Bob's handiwork and wondering how he does it. He's just so into his lawn, they say. And, you know, in this case, the desire is the neighbor's desire. It's not, you know, they're trying to figure out how we want to be like Bob.
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's definitely a side of desires, you know, desiring what other people have.
Right.
All right. So what if Bob's desires, passion, is something other than the lawn? Like his kids playing the drums or bowling with his friends. So the only way he has time to do this more important stuff is if he can, you know, get through his lawn work quickly and be happy about the results. So if he has a new, I don't even know, lawnmower's like 60-inch deck on his zero-turn.
Yeah, well, that's a big one.
Okay, all right, I don't even know. So cool. 60-inch deck on a zero-turn tractor would definitely speed things up, right? So they could show... They could maybe show like a shot of Bob's garage on the far side of the lawn and the tractor's in front and he's inside like wailing on his drum kit because he has time to do that. So he's passionate about that, right?
Yeah. Pulling out his inner AC/DC going at it.
There you go. Yep.
Okay. So yeah, that was kind of fun. Yeah. I love doing the brainstorming thing with you, Amy.
Yeah.
So, okay. How about if we have a campaign slogan for Bob wailing at his, you know, I can see him kind of a little darkened because he's in the back of his garage wailing away.
Mm-hmm.
And we get this overlay, find time for your passions. Find time for your passions. Well,
yeah, and then maybe his like wife is like watching him with like a cup of coffee in her hand, like with love in her eyes, like, oh yeah, that's my rock bringing star.
Bringing out a pitcher of fresh ice cold lemonade.
Sure, okay, we're getting way too...
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, well, that was fun. We could do that.
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right. But I mean, I know we've said it numerous times, but let's just point out that our goal with this today was not to talk about specific marketing tactics like Facebook ads or radio or Instagram posts, things like that, but to talk at a higher, more philosophical level about how you can use these archetypes to keep you focused, to guide you, to create some, you know, super passionate ideas and keep your brand from getting off track or stale.
Yeah,
so I hope we did that. If you have a lawnmower company, you're welcome. We expect to see Bob. And if not, you can, you know, turn any of our ideas into something that you're doing for your services or products that you're selling. So
yeah, I love doing those little brainstorming sessions. Yeah. And I just want to point out, as we're listening to that, you know, Amy and I are pulling this stuff kind of off the cuff and it's, you know, kind of machine gunning it, and you're thinking to yourself, oh, that's a really good idea. Oh, that sucks. I would never do that. That's okay.
Yeah.
That's okay. It's a brainstorming session. Yeah. That's right. Okay, so that brings up a really good tip, and I think we need to kind of leave it at that as we wind this episode down. What Amy and I did is super, super important to good marketing. If you and your team aren't meeting regularly to come up with your own marketing concepts like this on a regular basis, then you're missing out, really. Getting into the weeds and brainstorming ideas so that you have lots and lots and lots to draw from. And tasking this to some marketing intern that just got out of college and really doesn't understand you, your brand, or marketing, but that's their job, let them come up with the new ideas. No. You need to, this needs to be like a whole team effort. And there's a reason why I'm suggesting that. Yeah, even if you only use like 1 in 10 of your brainstorming ideas that you come up with, the exercise itself is going to train your team to think and be within brand. When I say be within brand, it's going to become a part of them. Right. They will become part of the brand and the brand will be part of them. And the more you get your entire team to do this, the stronger your brand is going to become over time. If you don't do this, then everybody is thinking about the brand differently. And it's not as cohesive. And all those tens of thousands of little interactions with customers and stuff, it degrades your brand if you don't get everybody on the same page. So do these brainstorming exercises, even if you don't use the marketing ideas, still use it as a team building and brand building exercise.
Yeah.
Right? It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. We have a monthly team meeting here at ZD Media where our whole team comes together, all of our account managers and everybody, and we start talking about ZD Media's marketing and coming up with ideas. And I have to say, like, we use more of my team's ideas than we use of mine. They're very clever. And then we go through each capos, those are my account manager call capos, their clients, and they ask us for ideas, certain ones that they might be struggling with or need like newer ideas and things like that. And we come up with some great ideas, even the people that aren't working on those accounts. And they always start off with, this is this account, this is their archetype, this is what we're selling. And then the ideas run wild, and it's amazing. It's fun. Awesome. That's my favorite part of the month is those
meetings. Absolutely. And it's awesome to watch that stuff happen because you don't know what's going to happen before you go into the meeting, and you're always happy with what comes out.
That's true. Yeah, right. For sure.
Okay. So capo to capo, Amy, why don't you give us a wrap up?
Absolutely. So if you are feeling the love, if you've got a passion drive burning inside you, you might still have questions about how to get started. So we would love to talk to you about your marketing projects.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I see what I did there. We desire to hear from you, your marketing project, and how you can be a better lover in marketing, of course. And I'm not sure we can give you advice on the rest of your life, but we can definitely help you with marketing. So head on over to brandarchetypes.com to find out more. You can go right to the lover page and read all about that, or you can take the questionnaire and find out what archetype you are closely aligned with. And of course, follow us on all the social media at Brand Archetypes. And we truly mean it when we say reach out to us if you would like our opinion on an ad campaign or your overall brand strategy or things like that. We really love talking about that stuff. We've had some listeners reach out to us, and it's really fun. And so we mean it, you know, reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
So reach out and touch someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of us.
Lovingly passionately within brand.
That's right. Within brand.
All right. Have a great day, Kevin.
Okay. Talk to you next week.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye.
You've been listening to the Brand Archetypes Podcast. Are you ready to discover your company's archetype? Check out brandarchetypes.com, where you can download the book, find out about archetype-specific strategies, connect with us on social media, and sign up for our newsletter.